Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhara Swami. I'm still in Vrindavan. I'm going back to Govardhan, and that's where my books are. So we'll continue Jagadharma next Wednesday. So I'll just speak on what I'm speaking about generally in my class here in Vrindavan. Omigana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shavakaya Daksur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayambhupa Kadamayam Padati Sapadantikam Pancha Gopa Talubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevaja Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Abhu Nityananda Vyadvaita Jagadha Sivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. I'm going back to Govardhan actually tomorrow. I usually stay out there during the Govardhan retreat of Bhurijan, Prabhu and Satchinandana Swami. But it's been quite interesting here in Vrindavan. I'm host for the Iranian devotees, and there's about 20 of them here. And I had the great fortune of taking them nearby, a little walk I do through the forest of Vrindavan. And, amazing. As soon as we started kirtan, the degree that each member of the Parikram party opened their hearts fully to the holy name is almost unprecedented to me in any group that I've ever taken. And maybe it just shows how a situation like that, where to express your spiritual heart is practically a capital offense in the country in which you live, makes that type of experience of full expression of Krishna consciousness in that way almost rare. And when something is rare, you treasure it more. And that's why, in fact, sometimes Krishna separates us from spiritual things, because our appreciation is not great enough. And spiritual life begins with appreciation. Prabhupada said it's the first principle. A faith. And you can never appreciate enough, because God is the greatest value. Devotional service is the greatest value. That's why we never can expect to achieve God by our endeavor. I make this point many times. If we can achieve God by our endeavor, how much can it be worth? Because how much can we pay? If our effort is enough, then it's too priced for God. And therefore, it's not God. The first principle in spiritual life is a type of gratitude. based on a kind of appreciation, and sometimes God puts people in situations where their appreciation is increased greatly, greatly. So just really grateful to be here, and going out in the forest of Vrindavan and chanting and dancing. And Vrindavan Forest was at its full splendor and glory. I don't think you could see the weather and the beauty. And sitting in my friend's hermitage, Sridhar Mali, eating those hot vichabasi, flatbread, rotis, it was just a very, very wonderful experience. I remember when I visited Germany, 25 years ago, the Sringa-shetra, traditionally, the Sringa form deities of God, they're installed on the borders. It's like a thing for protection in different places, but that's one. And it's on the border of Czechoslovakia. And of course, at that time, there was the Iron Curtain. People weren't free to move in those countries. It was very oppressive. And worshiping Krishna there was also illegal. And I remember a video was snuck out. We were doing the yajna there for their benefit. A video was snuck out of the country. And I remember this Russian devotee saying, he said, "I think it's more serious here because Krishna consciousness is so difficult. And when something is rare, it has more value to you." So, and then I hosted the tour from China. And I gave one of the classes to them, and they came to my room. And it's always a challenge to communicate to people because each person has a different lens in which they see the world based on their cultural experience. And you have to tailor your expression of whatever message you give so that when it enters the way they filter it, your presentation of the message is such that it comes through clear. So, and I'm busy, and that's bhakti. Bhakti is full absorption, and it has an effect. I also went to the japa retreat one day of Satchinandana Swami and Bhurijan Prabhu. Dhiraj Swami was there too. And it was at probably the most beautiful place in Vrindavan, which is called Ter Kadamba. I can't even describe how sublime it is, especially with everyone chanting and the encouragement they were getting. But one lady who really manages the retreat, her name is Prashant, and I introduced her to one of the people from New York I'm hosting. There's also a few people from New York here, too. And the person, young guy, just out of high school, saying how much he appreciated her kirtan, because we also went to their 12-hour kirtan at another beautiful place, the Gahavan Forest of Srimati Radha. Radharani, so beautiful, mystical. So, this young man liked her chanting, and she explained her realizations. And she quoted the verse by Rupa Goswami just as a young boy is spontaneously attracted to a young girl in the same way I want spontaneous devotion to you. Her commentary was, it's so natural. You put a young boy in the presence of a young girl, and something comes out of the heart, some natural attraction. She's explaining when you chant without offense and you meditate on the holy name and you get close to the holy name, then a certain attraction will come from the heart, especially on days like 12-hour kirtans and 64-round days. But just like that, I wake up early in the morning and I do a lot of chanting. And it does. When you concentrate that way, there's a natural attraction that comes. And then if you're lucky, you feel captured. And it's a very... Captured means that God's desire becomes prominent in your life. What God wants becomes more important than what you want. And if it's a feeling of love, you feel sheltered in that way. As a child, a young baby in the lap of the mother accepts the mother's direction, knowing that the mother's direction is a sheltering care. So you have that feeling. And that's what actually Sharanagata or surrender means. Surrender means that you take shelter. In the maintenance, protection, and authority of God. And therefore, you let go. You let go. Of what? Of your independent will. And you let go, and you follow the direction of truth. There's what we want to do, and there's what we should do. And what we should do is not dictated by our personal desires. It's dictated by some absolute truth. So we become guided and dictated by the absolute truth, which is meant to serve. And we accept that dictation, the absolute truth. Take shelter of the holy name. Anyway, so I have different people coming, and it's a glorious time in the Hare Krishna movement. People are just walking in the door all the time. Just recently in Vrindavan, I met a friend of Gopi Kishore, came to see me. A very interesting guy. His name is Trip Levine. He just wanders around the world. By the time he got to Vrindavan, he makes a perfect sadhana. So I'm reading the story of when Chaitanya travels to Vrindavan. And it's a very important story, as is the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I've explained this many, many times, is the Leela, the eternal event of God becoming his devotee to become complete as the relisher and enjoyer of love. To relish love fully, you have to be the object of love, beloved, the subject of love, the devotee. Same energy experienced from the position of the beloved and the lover. Spiritual sense. So God wants to be his lover, his devotee, to relish that type of happiness. And that's the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's the story of someone becoming a devotee, but that someone is God. And therefore, it's the perfect example of how to become a devotee. So, different stages of his life. First, he gets love of Godhead from the devotee. And he surrenders to his, meets and surrenders to his guru. That transforms him. And then he cultivates it. And at a particular time in one's life, he does this very early, one becomes increasingly detached. And one begins to travel on pilgrimage. But this is more than just pilgrimage. It's more than just a time of the year. It's a time of the life where one goes on pilgrimage. And of course, the idea of pilgrimage is actually to discover yourself. It's called self-realization. To really shed the conceptions and of identity and the accoutrements of those conceptions that are external to the self. So, at a particular time of life, when one has the proper maturity, one may concentrate on that endeavor. So one in that type of culture, one leaves home. Because generally, we construct our environment to a certain extent on the basis of our upadis, or false designations. And therefore, the environment can foster that sense of identity as the controller. Whenever your environment somehow conforms to your desires, there's an influence that makes you feel that I am the controller. Because the conforming of the environment to one's desires is connected with one's effort to do so, or at least apparently. This is my room, this is my house, this is where I put this, this is so many things. So it can foster the false ego. a false conception of the self that I'm the enjoyer, that my desire is central, and the objects of the world are meant to satisfy my desire by being in particular places that I want. One thing about modern life, and I can see it more and more as I counsel people, you know, the world doesn't move very well according to one's desires and needs. It's become, and that's also a problem. Because although that's not true happiness, the world conforming to our desires and needs, there's a certain extent that that's required for the peaceful mind to actually realize the self and change the consciousness. In other words, it's not happiness in itself, but it may be connected to happiness in the sense that the peaceful mind enables one to discover the self. The mistake that people make is they have the wrong objective that the conforming of the environment to one's desires is happiness. I've always mentioned from the Bhagavatam how this is discussed, kamasya mandiyaprutya. You know, what about material enjoyment? Well, you don't live to enjoy, you enjoy to live. So what's important is the life. Jivasya tattva jigyasa, and what is life about? Life is about realizing reality. So we may enjoy to live in a way that facilitates realizing tattva. Realizing absolute reality, realizing truth, and therefore implied in realizing the truth is living by the truth. Implied is also experiencing the truth. So, but Lord Chaitanya, at a particular time in life, one may be sufficiently mature in realization that one no longer needs an environment that conforms to one's desires to be peaceful. One's detached. So therefore, one no longer needs that environment. At a particular time, one may need that for self-realization. Another time, it's an impediment. And at the time when it becomes an impediment, that's called vanaprastha, retired life. Or sannyas, complete renunciation. So at that time, traditionally, vanaprastha, one would be situated in the forest. One would just wander in God's creation. And one, therefore, would put oneself in a situation where one no longer controls the environment. You don't control where you're going to sleep. You don't control where you're going to eat. You don't control, you know, where you're getting water. And by relinquishing that control,
but at the same time, still finding simple shelter and nourishment in one's life, one is more liable to experiencing those things as mercy. So that kind of simple renounced life, when one is mature enough to take to it, can be a facility to experience God's love in the form of His maintenance. You're tired, you find a tree. So it's kind of an unencumbering life if one has that level of realization. So after taking sannyas, before Lord Chaitanya settles in Puri, he begins to travel to experience God's shelter. And God's protection. But I don't know if it's the problem, but he's passing through a very dangerous jungle geographically. When you leave Orissa, or maybe cross Bengal, you come to Jharkhand. And it's mostly a forested area with wild animals. So, to live like that takes a certain level of realization. So we see, as Lord Chaitanya is traveling through the forest, what is the consciousness what is the consciousness of an advanced devotee? And two things are highlighted. One is that there's no fear. Because one feels completely protected, because one has, when you take shelter of God and you live that life, you begin to experience God's protection. And even the most difficult circumstances you've experienced, you begin eventually, as you live that type of life, to reflect on them and see how they were perfectly designed to give you an element in your consciousness that you needed to become more wholesome and spiritual, deep, and actually happy in Krishna consciousness, in God consciousness. So one who actually lives that life with some introspection, he sees that one is always protected by God. There's a Persian saying that when God is digging a ditch to throw you in, he's actually digging a well to quench your thirst. And you experience that. You feel, oh my God, God is digging a ditch. And then at the end, you say, oh no, he's quenching my thirst. You experience that. And therefore, you no longer fear when God is digging the ditch. You understand he's actually quenching your thirst. your complete confidence. Complete confidence that God is in control. Even if facing death, because what an experience that. So really a devotee is fearless. He does not see duality. He does not see anything separate from God, anything independent from God. He knows that everything is the will of God. And he has faith in its goodness. He understands, he sees destiny, he sees that there's a force that's absolute. But he's also convinced that it's good, that it's a moral force. It's pushing one to a higher level of realization and contentment. One actually sees that completely. So one sees God in the world in every instance. And therefore, the source of fear that there's something beyond me, there's something beyond my control that is moving against my interests and is threatening my being, that's uprooted by realization. One sees God in the world. And when one sees God in the world, one sees oneself as eternal. And therefore, what's ultimately causing our fear is actually an illusion. It's not something that's there, it's something that we think is there. So that which is threatening us is not what we think. And when you have that vision, it's no longer threatening. So at a high level of realization, one can wander the forest. You know, there's so many wild animals and dangerous snakes. And one doesn't have fear, because one is in a protected environment. The world is a protected environment. It's all controlled by God. He's in the heart of everyone. And if one doesn't have that full realization of God consciousness, traveling in such a way will help one to attain it. So that's the first level. And the second thing is, when one has that consciousness, one is fearless, but not only fearless, but free from any tinge of personal desire. When you have your own agenda, when you want to see the world as an object of your desire, and you want to move the world in that way, In doing so, you are sure to step on someone else's toes. So as long as you have a personal agenda, there's going to be some exploitation. Within the consciousness and within one's environment. But when the consciousness is free from personal agenda and one is completely ahimsa, completely without any sense of harm to anyone, whether in thought or deed, the form of that mind has a very powerful influence on the environment to move it in the same direction as one's mind. And therefore, with such a person, other entities generally become nonviolent and peaceful. Especially when that consciousness reaches its perfection, its fulfillment in love, and when one has developed that consciousness, then that consciousness becomes expressed in love, which is called kirtan, in glorification of God. So it's not just a sound vibration, it's a heart. And that vibration has a tremendous effect on others. We were talking yesterday about Prabhupada chanting in Tompkins Square Park and the influence that sound vibration had on the minds of others. It's amazing how it's continuing in places like Iran and China. Wow, amazing. So by kirtan, but based on a love and a purity in the heart, if it's done, and the basis of the kirtan is to attract others to oneself, the form of that sound vibration, even if it's the holy names, devoid of that conviction, devoid of that faith, that trust in the sublimity of love, service, it won't have the same effect. The story of Lord Chaitanya going through the forest in Jayakanda is the story of the animals dancing. With each other. There's verses in the Bhagavatam in Brahmadi Mohan Lila where it describes that Vrindavan is the place where there's no enmity. Because it's a place of love. So everyone becomes affected. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Are there any questions? Anyone like to say hello?
Jai Maharaj, Rati Krishna.
Okay, Rati. Well, at least I know that I was heard. You've got all my messages, right, about the trip?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Why don't you call Pachuma's time for this interview?